Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Ripped, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I'm, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. Jingle bells, Batman smells, and he laid an egg. It's Micah.
Yeah, that's right. We're keeping the Christmas spirit going.
That's right.
Yeah.
Christmas week.
Part two, Christmas harder.
Yeah. This is New Year's Eve. We are on the eve of a new year, and we're going to be discussing a new Batman.
A new Batman returned?
Batman Returns, the sequel to Batman. So, and this will be coming out on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Because 2025 will be the sequel to 2024. Pulled it all together.
I can only hope that, like, I don't know, the queen of the Christmas ball gets killed and... I don't know. Michelle Pfeiffer dies and gets resurrected by a cat cult.
Yeah.
All those fun things.
As long as she's wearing tight black spandex, whatever
Man,
she does.
What a suit, dude.
Okay with like, me.
I'm not normally into that.
Although
but...
she would just cover her entire face so you don't see her lazy eye. Like, that'd be great. Michelle Pfeiffer is a real butterface, dude.
It's, I don't know. For me, it's a lighting situation, I think, for me. I think depending on the lighting.
She's lit the way that she has a lazy eye? What?
No, as far as... There's like a... I don't know. There's an old song that's like, is she pretty or is she just look nice when the light hits her right?
Okay.
Something like that.
Does she just look nice when she's in a tight spandex outfit? I'm pretty sure any woman does.
I would say most of them. Yeah, I would say most of them. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I could use Michelle Pfeiffer... dressed up as a cat in my house. Not for what you might think. Thor, I've got a mouse in my house.
Yeah.
And I think it's the mouse from Mousetrap. I really do. Like,
he just is outsmarting you at every turn.
Dude, let me tell you about the standoff that I had with this mouse at 12:30 in the morning.
Okay.
So I don't sleep a lot. It takes I sleep maybe 5 hours a night. Just hands down, it doesn't really matter when I go to sleep. I will wake up in about 5 hours. And so I often am up late because of that. And to spend some time, I'll play like PlayStation at like 1 in the morning, 12 to 1, 12 to 1:30, something like that.
Sure.
And I was playing it and I heard this rustle, 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 rustle. And I'm like, that's the fucking mouse in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I know it is. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I've got sticky traps everywhere. I don't like sticky traps because they don't kill the mouse, but I use them and then I kill the mouse. So I feel like that's the humane thing to do.
Yeah.
But so
and also the sexual gratification you get from it.
Yeah, that too. just hitting that skull with that hammer, baby. Let me tell you.
The pure sexual thrill
that's right.
of ending a life.
I'm a... Oh man, here's a bad joke. Some might call me a masochist, but I prefer the term mousekist.
Oh, nice. I like it.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
See the little play on words there? Yeah, so I heard the mouse in one of like the potato chip bags. At least I figured it was because we've got like a stash area.
It was rustling around them, yeah.
Yeah. And so I go over there and I'm waiting and I see his little head pop up. And look around, and I'm like, you motherfucker. And I looked at it, and he jumped down and hid in the corner. And so, of course, I don't want to lose sight of the mouse.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at him, I'm eyeballing him, and then I'm just, like, reaching behind me for anything that I can use as a weapon. And I grabbed a frying pan, and I grabbed a lid. And I thought, maybe I can catch him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And so I've got him, and I'm sneaking up. And I'm like, all right, he's going to try and run. And he darted to the other wall back by our trash can, so like under the kitchen table, under the dog food bowl, so I couldn't of course like snag him. So then he was hiding behind the trash can, and I'm like, all right, I got him now. And I like slid a bunch of stuff next to the wall so he couldn't run back. He ran and he kept zigzagging, juking and dodging and weaving, and then he ran under the stove, and I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, they can basically flatten their bodies. Dude, mice are wild. I was working in a restaurant once, and the back of the building, it was like a brick facade, And I'm out there like smoking a cigarette, because this is when I still smoked. Mm-hmm. And I look over, and at my eye level, there is a fucking mouse climbing the brick like fucking...
like it's nothing?
Like cliffhanger, dude. Like, swear to God. Yeah, literally 5 feet up the wall, climbing brick. Just climbing.
Yeah.
They are fucking wild. They can squeeze in little tiny spaces.
Mm-hmm.
They're impressive.
They are impressive. Yeah. And it just keeps
evading.
It is evading.
A pain in the ass when you're dealing with one, though.
Yeah. It's just keeps evading all of the traps that I set up. So anyway, we paid for an exterminator to come in and like place stuff all around. So we'll see.
Yeah. Speaking of squeezing in little spaces. So mm-hmm. I found out a fun fact today.
Okay.
The human anus can stretch up to 7 inches before it's damaged.
Are we talking diameter or circumference?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I believe whichever one is like the whole circle.
Well, so diameter would be like an imaginary straight line between the two widest points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So
circumference would be if you were to take a measuring tape and wrap it around.
For 7 inches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So diameter.
Okay.
So human anus can stretch to about 7 inches.
Okay.
Before being damaged.
Interesting. That's some intense pooping.
A raccoon can squeeze itself into an opening as small as 4 inches.
Oh my
gosh. So hypothetically, you could almost stick 2 raccoons comfortably in your asshole.
Side.
Yeah. Not quite. You would damage yourself a little bit, but it'd just be a little bit of tearing, and you would get both them raccoons in there.
Yeah. I would imagine that the raccoons would also...
Can you imagine how many mice you could squeeze in there, though?
I don't want to. It is putting
like,
a really...
Like if you tied them together with a rubber, like 10 mice with a rubber band.
Like wrapping them like matchsticks or something?
Yeah. Just shove them up there.
Like twigs or...
Yep, yeah. So that's your Snapple fact of the day.
I'm sure you read that on the bottom of a Snapple cap.
I did.
I'd look at that and be like, where the hell is Snapple getting this info from? Like, they're getting dark.
Yeah, they got to step it up. Fucking Gen Z is like, they're not just happy with, like, stats about penguins staying together for their whole lives. They're like, what kind of stuff can I fit up my ass?
Yeah, if it ain't skibbity oo woo, it's not for me. If anybody listening to us understands what that is, you're too young.
If you know what a skibbity is, write us. Tell us what a skibbity is.
Dude, I had an old... I'm sorry. We're somehow evading the Batman conversation, but I've
it's
got...
Fine. We'll get there. It's a new year.
I've got another thing. Okay. We, over the holiday season, you were there as well, all right? But you were there later than we were. We went on this holiday trolley ride.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
All right? And so we went on this thing, and dude, I'd be happy if I were you that you weren't on the trolley ride that we were on. So we went on this trolley ride... to go look at lights. It's like Christmas lights in, I don't know if it was a park that they had it set up in or...
So Hershey Park, Pennsylvania, it's like a big theme park made by the Hershey's Chocolate Company. Mm-hmm. And they have this thing called the Sweet Life or the Sweet Lights or something like that. And it's basically like a... it's kind of like through the woods and a field. And it's just like tens of thousands of these Christmas light... like kind of statues. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what you call them, but like these Christmas light things set up, and it's pretty wild. It's very cool. And you hop on this like old trolley from like the 1960s. There's no seat belts, and you go on the highway, which is kind of insane to get to this. You just cross the highway to get to where you're going. But in any case,
So we were on that, and I turned into an old man because there were two kids that were behind us, two boys, and they were sitting in the back of the trolley. We were like in the very, almost the very back. The kids were in the very back seat. They were not around their parents. Their parents were somewhere in the front of the trolley.
Oh, just, yep.
All right. And so these kids would not shut the hell up, like through the whole thing. And they're being kids, right? They're having fun. And if it's just kids having fun, I really don't care. Like, if they're a little bit of a nuisance, but they're having a good time, they're not hurting anybody, whatever, they're being kids, right? But then they started, like, singing. So part of this trolley ride, for us anyway, was we started singing the 12 Days of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was along these areas where, as you were singing, they kind of had it timed. So as you were singing the 12 Days of Christmas, getting to whatever day there were, you would reach a point in the area of lighting where that thing, whatever the thing you were singing about, was lit up in there. All right? I don't know if you did that.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
But with us, that was the case. But the kids started, like, belting loudly, just kind of profanity while it was happening. And, like, we were there with my daughter. It was a family situation. It's a family event.
Yeah.
And so when that happened, one of the kids goes, "This is gay!" Like, just yelled it. I immediately turned. It was instinctive, Thor. Like, I didn't even think about it. I immediately turned around and I'm like, "You two need to sit down and knock it off."
Yeah, no, that's. Yeah, no, that's like, that's what you do. They're fucking kids.
And they of course immediately just, like, quieted up, sat down, and didn't, you know, they were fine the rest of the time.
Yeah,
because they knew that they pissed off an adult.
Yeah,
and an adult that they didn't know.
That's how it should be. Yeah,
which. It's strange to me, and I kind of felt like a grumpy old man, but at the same time, like, what the hell were the parents doing that they could clearly hear their kids yelling in the back of a trolley? What are you doing? Like, get a hold of your kid.
I think there are some parents that are just like, you see what I deal with all the time? They're just, as soon as they get a moment where they're like, somebody else's problem now, they're just like, I'll take that.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, you guys went because we were late for the trolley.
Yeah.
To go on. And that was kind of like a work trip for Kendra's work and where Ashley used to work. So it was like, I'm pretty sure the majority of the people on that trolley were like.
Oh, were
those employees of that company. Yeah.
Okay.
So we ended up getting on one afterwards because the people were nice enough. We were like, hey, we were like 5 minutes late. Can you help us out? They found us a spot on a trolley like 30 minutes later. So it wasn't that. So the people behind us and in front of us, immigrants.
Okay.
And didn't speak. They were very nice. I ended up chatting with the one because, like, Dean was playing with the girl in front of us. She was like probably like two and a half. And so they were kind of like playing a little bit almost.
Yeah.
But like the dad spoke very little English and the people behind us, same thing. It's like. Immigrant people, their kids don't act like that, dude. So we had a pretty good trip.
It was pretty
good. Yeah, the kids in ours were pretty well-behaved. Yeah, because they know otherwise they might get sold to a fucking Nike factory or something.
Yeah. Yeah, or deported pretty soon. One of the two. It's a bad. It's a joke. I'm joking. It's a joke. Anyway. I'm glad you had a good time, Thor. I'm glad that the children
there
in
were
your
no
vicinity
kids yelling how gay stuff is.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I wanted to punch
them.
Although
if the same thing happened to me, I probably would have encouraged them. I love kids. Like, when they're, like, when it's kids that, like, I don't, that aren't mine, like, I don't really care if they act bad. It's kind of funny to me. It's like, whatever. I'm like,
again, yeah, I don't really care if a kid is acting up, because there's acting up as a kid, and there's, like, an innocence of youth, and just kind of being loud because you're a kid, and you're goofing off type of thing. And, like, are you in an appropriate setting for that? Maybe not, but you're also, like, eight, so you're having fun, you're not trying to hurt anybody, but once it gets past that, and they're, like, trying to be obnoxious, I think that that's where it starts to bother me. And it did, and it bothered me enough to, like, turn around an old man, yell at children on a trolley ride watching Christmas lights. So that's where I'm at in my life, Thor. So maybe. I literally
if felt
I
was there,
like,
they're like, that's gay. I'd been like, what, is it driving a Prius?
Yeah, yeah. I felt like Ebenezer Scrooge. I felt like I was going to get visited by the ghosts of Christmas past and just be like, hey, Micah, this is your future. And then I'd just see me yelling at all the kids.
Yeah. And you're like, that seems like a pretty sweet future.
Yeah. Sounds great, ghost. Thanks. Anyway,
let's talk about Batman, dude.
Yeah, let's talk about Batman.
Hey, folks, make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, folks, so today we're going to be talking about Batman Returns. It's a 1992 American classic directed by none other than Tim Burton. And it's based, obviously, on the great character Batman, near and dear to my heart. Love Batman. Easily my favorite superhero of all time. This was far enough back that they credited Bob Kane but did not credit Bill Finger with the creation of Batman.
Bill Finger? I barely know her.
Are you familiar with this controversy of this?
No.
Bob Kane and Bill Finger? So Bob Kane basically is the guy who took credit for creating essentially everything Batman, but he really didn't do a lot of it. Another guy named Bill Finger, who helped with the creation process, but essentially received no credit for the creation process of basically all of Batman's aesthetic and visual motif.
Okay. Finger got fingered.
Yeah, he really did. Okay. He really did. So now if they were to like remake the movie or redistribute the movie, maybe even on Max, because that's where you can stream this, formerly known as HBO Max. Maybe they've, you know, superimposed, you know, Bob Kane and Bill Finger.
No.
So that might be the case. I'm not sure. But either way, this is the sequel to the Batman movie that changed the view of Batman, because prior to that was Adam West Batman. He was all kind of campy and stuff. So, yeah, starring Michael Keaton as Batman, of course, Danny DeVito as the Penguin, Michelle Pfeiffer as the sexy, sexy Catwoman. And also, Christopher Walken is in this.
For some reason, yeah.
For some reason, yeah. So...
As Shrek. As a guy named Shrek.
Shrek the businessman.
Because at first I was like, wait, did I hear that right? And then 100%. They kept saying it, and I'm like, oh, that's funny.
It's for sure Shrek, yeah. And he's just trying to steal all of the electricity from Gotham City so that he can hoard it and increase the prices.
Yes.
Yeah. Love it. So when I recommended this to you, Thor, you were pretty sure that you hadn't seen it, but maybe you had seen it. After watching it again, what are your thoughts? Did you see this? First of all, have you seen this? And if you have or have not?
I don't think so. I know I've definitely seen parts of it.
Okay.
But it's one of those, much like Die Hard and other things on here, where it's like, I probably saw it when I was very little.
Okay.
But I, for the most part, no, I remembered nothing
about it.
About this film.
No. Okay. You said that you may also watch the first Batman movie. Did you watch the first Batman?
I did not have time, no.
Okay. All right. So then we'll stick to Batman Returns then. Thor, what are your thoughts? What's your general overview on Batman Returns?
I kind of forget sometimes, like, just how different superhero movies are now.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I know that this is kind of, like, marked a big change in, like, the Batman character and is, like, a very consequential movie as far as, like, superhero movies.
Sure.
But it is... It's a much different pace, and it's a much different style. It's also Tim Burton.
Okay.
So it's like it is definitely a very different feel to a superhero film than
it
what
definitely
we get today.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a much different thing. Danny DeVito is so gross as the Penguin. Me and Kendra watched this. She didn't finish it. She fell asleep. but not because she wasn't enjoying it. It was just late and we were watching it. But yeah, that was like what she said to me. She's like, he is so good at being gross.
Oh, man.
Because also I watch a lot of It's Always Sunny, and as that show progresses, he just gets more disgusting. It's yeah. like kind of part one of the like things they did is as the series progressed, they like there were a couple seasons where they intentionally made them like get ugly and fat, because usually in TV shows people get more pretty as the seasons go along.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the opposite, and Danny right. DeVito becomes absolutely disgusting in a number of those, and it's like, it's nice to know that he's been doing it for 30 years.
Danny DeVito, what a guy, man. He's a treasure. He really, really is.
He truly is. This movie is so weird, man. It's so weird. Here's the thing is, I'm discovering as it goes on, Tim Burton just really annoys me.
Okay.
I also recently watched The Nightmare Before Christmas. It had been a long time since I actually watched that movie.
Yeah.
And I know people probably aren't going to like this take, but I think The Nightmare Before Christmas is like one of the biggest pieces of shit I've ever seen. It's so stupid.
Wow.
It's such a dumbass movie. It's okay. So dumb. I don't know why people, literally the whole movie is like creep. Like it's all creepy, spooky, scary Halloween. Goth girls will dress like me for the next 30 years. Will Love they it. Be a little overweight? You know they will. Like, literally, everybody talks like they're from the 1950s. All the characters look like, it's like, oh, they're so weird and goofy. It's like, just make a character that looks right,
yeah,
with the correct dimensions. Why does every character need to look like a kid with autism drew it? I don't understand. Why is everything so strange and loopy? Like, just tell me a normal story.
I mean, but that's his kind of quirk, man.
I know, and it bugs me. Yeah. As I get older, I realize, like, I feel like I've always, everybody says how awesome Tim Burton is, and I feel like I just kind of drank the Kool-Aid. And then as I, like, now as I become, like, older, I realize, like, I don't think I actually like this. I think this is very stupid. I hate it.
Okay, well now I'm curious. What are your thoughts on other Tim Burton things? All right,
so okay, you can other, give other
me,
Tim
give,
Burton
yeah,
things.
Yeah, give me a yay or a nay on if you like it or not.
Okay.
Sweeney Todd.
Medium.
Medium? Okay. Edward Scissorhands?
I do like Edward Scissorhands, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Corpse Bride?
Nah, not really.
Not really? Frankenweenie?
Never seen it.
Never seen it. Okay. That's all I can think of.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Other than Batman, and then Batman Returns. But
what about Beetlejuice? Is Beetlejuice Tim Burton?
Beetlejuice feels like Tim Burton.
Feels like Tim Burton.
It also has Michael Keaton in it, so that would be something. Man, I can't believe I don't know that. Let's find out. Hey, ChatGPT. Tim Burton. Beetlejuice. I'm pretty sure it is. Beetlejuice was Everybody who already knows this answer is dying inside right now. They're screaming as we're looking it up. It's Tim Burton, 100%.
Okay,
yeah, I mean, that doesn't
surprise
me at all.
Feel like him. Yeah, and even Beetlejuice 2 is another one. Like, we watched that recently, and I was like, it's fine. I don't know. I just
yeah,
I don't know
bad.
What it is about. I just
didn't Tim Burton also do the Alice in Wonderland kind of remake? Weren't those his?
He did. They sucked so bad.
Okay. All right. Oh, Sleepy Hollow. Did you see that one?
It's been a long time, but that's a pretty cool movie.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Tim Burton directed Planet of the Apes. The 2001
the
Planet
Mark Wahlberg
of the Apes. Yeah, with Mark Wahlberg.
My wife's entry into the series, she loves that movie.
Well, you're...
Dude, she has an interesting taste. Sometimes she's like dead on with stuff, and then yeah. sometimes it's like, what the fuck?
Wildly off.
That's why I love her. She's along for the ride. When it comes to like movies and movies or TV and shit, mm-hmm. she's just like a lot of times just along for the ride.
Yeah.
And she doesn't poke holes, and she just kind of like accepts stuff
yeah.
At face value, like with movies and TV. And I feel like it's probably a better way to live. Like, I've ruined many things for her because I'll point out all the reasons why things are terrible. And she's like, man, I really liked that until you said all that.
Until
now,
you said
like,
that.
I can't rewatch it because that's all like, I'm like, sorry.
Evidently, Tim Burton directed the Dumbo live action movie as well.
I'm sure that was great.
I'm sure it was. And Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Dumb.
With Johnny Depp. He did do Big Fish. I thought Big Fish was good.
Big Fish is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
All right. So he also did Mars Attacks, which is a fun one.
Yeah, Mars Attacks is cool.
Yeah. He also did Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Although, actually, no, I rewatched that. It's so funny. I didn't even realize that, like, I've just been rewatching a bunch of Tim Burton movies.
Yeah.
And all these are ones, like, Mars Attacks, I don't like that much. Like, I like it. I think it's fun, but it's...
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah, I just don't... I don't... I just don't think I like Tim Burton very much.
Yeah. That's fair. He does... He very much has a distinct style.
He does, yeah.
And I do think that he's the type of director who just leans into his style.
Yeah.
And...
Well, yeah, everybody's like, oh, he's fucking weird. Let him just be weird. And yeah. And people just eat it up because they're like, he's the weird guy.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's funny that you mentioned that because he actually... Evidently, he only agreed to do Batman Returns if he had more creative control because he felt very stifled during the first Batman movie.
Okay. And do they have like a pretty do they have two like distinct feels? Do they feel pretty different?
They feel similar, but this one definitely feels more Tim Burton. Like, definitely feels it's darker.
Like, it's very kooky.
Yes, that's definitely the thing, kookier. Like,
So I did, like, spoiler alert, I did enjoy this a good bit. Okay. There are a lot of things I liked about this.
Yeah.
But, like, it just felt so kooky. I was just like, it's, like, that's why I can't, like, A, part of it's that it's, like, an older comic book movie where they were a little bit more cartoony, I think, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But then also it's Tim Burton. So, like, that's, there were some parts where I was just like, ugh. Bugs me a little bit, but not to say that like I hated this or anything, but it sure. I definitely took this movie with a grain of salt where I was just like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, this movie definitely had repercussions for a number of things.
Okay,
right?
Let's hear it.
So like the first Batman movie came out, was wildly successful. And so basically they were like, man, this is awesome. We're doing another one. Tim Burton, let's do another one. Tim Burton says, I don't really want to because I felt like I couldn't really be myself in it, you know?
Yeah.
And, or at least, you know, have my vision for the movie. And so they're like, okay, well, the first one did so well, you can have more creative freedom. All right.
Okay.
So then because the first one did so well, all of the marketing for this second one was just off the charts.
Okay.
Right?
I kind of feel like I know where this is going.
Off the charts, all right? Like, we're talking McDonald's, Happy Meal toys, all the stuff. It's a Batman movie, right? So we're marketing this, we're franchising this.
I already see the problems forming.
Action
yep.
figures. Yep. We want new Batmobiles. We want Batman and all the different, like, outfits for the toys.
Sure.
All this crap. And then the movie comes out. It's like... dark as fuck. And
very little Batman.
Very little Batman
in this movie.
Like, very little Batman.
Almost no Batman in this movie.
The focus is so heavy on the villains in this one. I think it's like 20 minutes before Bruce Wayne even has a line in the movie. Like, it's so much darker in content than the first one. Like you said, Danny DeVito is such a creepy penguin.
He is. And like the movie opens with his rich parents being like, oh, our kid is like killing the dog or the cat or something. So let's drop him in the river and send him on his way.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was like, wow, our kid's so ugly. We don't want it.
Yeah. Didn't he like attack an animal though?
Well, he did, but the kid was already in a cage.
Yeah, they already had him.
Baby penguin already was put in a cage.
Yeah.
And I guess an animal like went, I forget if it was a dog or a cat, but like walked up to it. And yes, the penguin just like, as baby murdered it. Wait,
so, and actually, so real before we'll go on to, we'll come back to this.
Yeah.
We'll put a pin in this. But so you guys recently, you and Patrick Hooker and Dan Barton discussed the Penguin series on Max.
Yeah.
And so, and that tells the story of the Penguin is just like a normal dude who has like a fucked up leg and he's kind of like a mobster.
Sure.
So as a comic book guy, a Batman guy, which is more accurate to like, is this like the real story of like the Penguin, like based on the comic books? Is this kind of like the standard origin story or does
no.
he not have one?
He is much more. If you think about how the Penguin looked in the Adam West series,
I never seen that.
He's wild to me.
Once again, I've seen clips. Mm-hmm. Like I know Adam West, who Adam West is. I've seen like clips and stuff of him and Robin like punching people, and sure. the bam and pow is pumped. Yeah, I know it's like super campy. I know.
So he's normally like in a top hat and he's kind of goofy looking.
Yeah, he's just like a normal guy who wears a penguin suit. You know, yeah, like he wears a tuxedo.
And he would always laugh like a penguin. He'd be like, wah, 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 wah. Yeah. Like that's how he would laugh, and he'd have his little cigar. So this was like classic Penguin, right? And Tim Burton definitely made the most disgusting version of the Penguin.
Yeah, he made him like a mutated weird freak.
Yep. He was so
raised
weird and
by penguins, like
raised
which,
by penguins.
Oh
yeah.
My god! So go on. Yeah,
he was so disgusting that when they were making the toys for this movie, they didn't use a Danny DeVito version of the Penguin. They used like an old Super Friends cartoon version Penguin of the action figure.
Yeah.
From like the 1980s. They just took that and
makes
were like,
sense.
Yeah,
he's fucking terrifying.
Here's the Penguin.
Before we recorded, we were talking. Your wife is like, when I saw that movie as a kid, I had like nightmares about him.
Uh-huh.
Like I was terrified. And it makes sense. He is disgusting.
He really is.
He bites a guy's nose off.
It does. And the joke, he's like, it could be worse. My nose could be gushing blood. And yeah. They're like, ha ha ha, what? And
he's like, come closer.
Yeah. He just dives right in.
Dude, fucking Danny DeVito is so incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It's such an over-the-top, insane role.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it somehow, like, it just works. I don't know how it really works.
Yeah. So needless to say, the initial response to this was very mixed.
Sure. Yeah.
Especially with families.
Yeah.
With like people taking their young kids to go see it. It received a lot of backlash for that reason. And so like McDonald's ended its partnership with the marketing campaign. So it had a bit of a repercussion. It ended up not being as successful as the first movie. The backlash is probably part of it. And so Tim Burton was like, all right, let's do a third one. And I've got a cool idea. He wanted to go with Harvey Dent and him turning into Two-Face for the third movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, and Tim Burton goes,
you kind of fucked us on the McDonald's money, dude.
Yeah. So Tim Burton's like, you don't want me to make a third one, do you? And they're like, well, it's not that. And he's like, it's fine. I get it. It's fine. And so, like, I guess Tim Burton just cut his losses. And
well, he probably saw the writing on the wall, like, I'm not going to get to do what I want to do again.
Yeah.
And he's a creepy weirdo.
Uh-huh.
Who, you know, he was at Diddy parties. Fucking such a weirdo.
Maybe. I don't know. He might.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
I was going to say, this is 100% pure conjecture. I don't even think that I've never seen Tim Burton be like, yo, my Diddy homeboy over here. Or I've never seen Tim Burton or P. Diddy do the same thing. But
Tim Burton looks like the kind of guy who would like tell people about his black friend.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So he just dipped after the second one. He was like,
well, he basically, yeah, was like, all right, they're not going to let me do a third one. And so then they gave it to Joel Schumacher to make Batman Forever. And then Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's funny is when I was talking to my wife about this and said that we were doing this for the show, she goes, oh, that's my favorite Batman movie. And I was like, really? And I was like,
yeah,
I was impressed. I was like, really? And she goes, yeah. And she goes, I really liked Poison Ivy in that movie. And I'm like, nope. That's the wrong Batman movie. I was like, you're thinking of Batman and Robin. She goes, the one with Mr. Freeze? I'm like, yep. She goes, yeah, that one. I'm like, nope. That's Batman and Robin. She's like,
that's my favorite movie. And you're like, nope. No, it's not.
She said, that's my favorite. And I'm like, what? That one is your favorite out of all the Batman movies? Batman and Robin's your favorite? And she said, yes. And then she said that Batman Forever was a close second. And then it was Batman Returns. And then it was Batman with Keaton. Like the first Batman movie with the Joker.
And like Dark Knight didn't even make it to end.
Not even on the radar.
Dude, that's the funniest. That's the best. I love your wife.
Like not even. That's so not great. Even on the. Yeah. So. All right. Whatever. Yeah. I think that my response was, I love you.
Yeah.
But I'm sleeping on the couch.
Your response was like, I'm glad we signed that prenup because I see some stuff coming up.
Yep. Yeah.
She said, don't freeze me out. Don't put me on ice.
So I, you know, that actually, you made me think, Thor, there's obviously a ton of puns, freeze puns, ice puns in Batman and Robin. Yeah. Catwoman's got a fair amount of puns in this herself.
There's a bit.
Like a lot. And she's super hypersexualized.
Yeah. When she straight up licks Batman's face.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. All right.
Sure.
All right. Also weird, but okay.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I'm pretty sure that there was a scene in that where Batman's laying, he's like laying down on the rooftop of a building. And Catwoman is straddling him, and I'm pretty sure that he licks his lips. I don't know if that's Batman.
Yeah, and then she licks her face. That's when they, like, fight and they, like, stab each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know if that was Batman or if that was Michael Keaton.
For sure.
Because, I mean, if I'm Batman and I'm in a rubber suit and I've got Michelle Pfeiffer on top of me and that...
Also like, in a rubber suit.
Also in a rubber suit.
Licking your face.
I might be licking my lips as well.
Yeah, yeah. As long as she has her eyes closed.
As long as she has her eyes closed.
Her weird lazy. Yeah. No, actually, so genuinely my favorite scene from this film is the part where they're what's her character's name when she's not Catwoman?
Oh, Selina Kyle.
Selina.
Yeah.
So when Selina comes over to Bruce Wayne's and they're both out of character.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both, it's after they had fought as Batman and Catwoman, and at this point they still don't know who each other is.
Mm-hmm.
And she is like running late because she has to go kidnap, she knows she needs to go be Catwoman and kidnap the Ice Princess and be part of the Penguin's plan. And they're kind of like, they're in front of the fire and they start like kissing a little bit. And she starts touching him and she touches where he gets stabbed. And he like, and then he moves her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts touching her arm and almost gets to where he cut her. And she stops him. And there's like this really fun play of like that both of them don't, like the audience is in on something that they are not in on.
You're right.
And it was just such a like incredibly done scene where it's very funny. It's very smart.
Yeah.
And it also still feels like super emotionally grounded in these two characters who are finding this like blossoming romance.
Yeah.
It's genuinely, I was blown away by compared to how like over the top and wacky the rest of the movie is.
Sure.
I felt like it was, I was like, this is like a remarkably like good scene.
Well, I think that the chemistry like, between them was pretty good.
Yeah, the chemistry is genuinely palpable. And I think it's just like really genius writing. It was really, it was shot brilliantly. It was just like 10 out of 10, like a perfect scene in a film.
I
loved that.
And to be honest, that's probably a scene that like the director loved, right? Yeah. And saw all of the artistic merit in that scene that probably 90% of the audience just doesn't catch.
Yeah.
That would be my guess anyway. I could be completely wrong. But even having, there's more stuff like that as well where they're like at the masquerade ball and everybody's in a mask except for Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle. Like both of them don't have their masks.
Oh,
have
I didn't masks, even catch that. Yeah.
Right. But that's because in this version of these characters, like Bruce Wayne is very much not who he is. Like he's more
exactly, yeah.
Batman.
Bruce Wayne is his mask.
Yeah. And the same thing with Selina Kyle, where now Catwoman is like who she is.
Yeah.
And Selina Kyle's the mask. So there's like fun stuff like that that's in there too.
That's neat. I did not even catch that. That's cool. Can we talk about how Catwoman becomes Catwoman?
It's wild.
It makes no sense. She gets pushed out of a window and dies and then is resurrected by cats eating her, attempting to eat her dead body.
Yep. As cats would do.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It's kind of, again, it's very Tim Burton, right?
It's like it makes no sense.
It really doesn't, but because then she essentially, she opens her eyes like she's come back from the dead.
Yeah.
So it really makes it seem like there might be something mystical about her transformation. And even at the end of the, just to kind of go along with that, even at the end of the movie.
And my thing is maybe, my thought was maybe, I don't know if he put this thought into it, was like, because then she can also fight like crazy, right?
Oh, she changes 100%.
Yeah, yeah. And she just starts cartwheeling. Why does she, it's so annoying. Why does she cartwheel everywhere she goes? It's too much cartwheeling. It's so unnecessary. But
I thought the same thing, because she's like, I am Catwoman. Hear me roar. Backhand spring, backhand spring, backhand spring.
Yes, why do you have to cartwheel? It seems so inefficient. Just run. Cats do not cartwheel. Run on all...
I don't know. I've been down an alley in Gotham every now and then, just like all the cats are back handspringing.
Yeah.
That's all they're doing.
But yeah. So my thought was like, maybe not only does it like change her personality, but it was like, okay, maybe it is something like some, for some reason this gave her superpowers.
Yeah.
Because my assumption was always like Catwoman is like Batman. She's not superpowered.
Right.
Right. But she was such an ordinary person. Like, maybe he's like, I have to give her some kind of thing that makes sense why now all of a sudden she knows fucking jujitsu or whatever.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
She can do backhand springs for days.
Exactly, in heels.
She,
yeah.
She knows how to use a whip like nobody's business. Like, just whipping the heads of mannequins off.
Yeah.
That was evidently actually Michelle Pfeiffer, too.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, like, she trained...
I have much respect for Michelle Pfeiffer on that.
Yeah.
Not done.
Really, really cool. But yeah, I kind of wondered the same thing. And at the end of the movie, it really alludes to her being dead. But then you see her pop up at the very, very end.
Yeah, like looking at the bat signal.
Yeah.
It? Yeah.
And so then is that some weird.
Well, yeah, she gets shot a couple. And there's this whole thing about like her having 9 lives.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, I don't know. Again,
maybe she had superpowers all along and she just didn't know it until she died and lost her first life.
Maybe. Know? Maybe that's the case. Yeah. Maybe that was life number one. And I don't know. I like the idea of the cats doing some type of weird seance to.
Yeah. We were talking about that before we started recording.
to make a cat god. It's a cat ritual.
We don't know what cats are saying when they're meowing. Yeah. Maybe they were.
I kind of like the idea that all the cats in Gotham are pagans. And they're just doing a weird cat cult.
Yeah.
Because
she's been embodied with a Cthulhu-esque eldritch horror cat god.
Yes, something like that. Yeah, and she goes absolutely bananas after she comes right back. Like,
for sure.
Like, she just takes all of her stuffed animals and puts them in the garbage disposal.
Yeah, and starts cutting, going crazy, and she starts smashing all her... That scene was so stupid. Like... It went on way too long.
It did go on for a while.
It's way too long. It's like, we get it. We get it. You're PMSing. Go.
if we didn't know that she was going to be a villain, I guess now we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you didn't already know, she's definitely going to be a Catwoman.
How do you feel about who I would say is the main villain of this movie? And that is Shrek.
Yeah, Christopher Walken.
Yeah, Christopher Walken.
That wig is... tough.
In Wild.
That wig is tough, man.
It's like an Albert Einstein wig.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
I mean, it's another one kind of similar to like Danny DeVito is kind of the perfect person to play Tim Burton's like weird, deformed, in like animalistic, insane version of the Penguin.
Yeah.
I feel like Christopher Walken is kind of the perfect guy to play this like over the top megalomaniac fucking industrialist who just wants to steal all of Gotham's electricity.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that Christopher Walken has such a distinct accent and cadence that it really doesn't matter what role he's in.
Yeah, no. He can't play like an upbeat, down to earth guy.
Not at all.
But like if you need a dark weirdo,
mm-hmm.
there is none better.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd you feel about him as a villain? Did you feel like he was a necessary thing? He was kind of the linchpin between all of the other characters. Because Bruce
actually,
had the conflict with him.
Because, you know, one of the things I do find interesting, and my assumption can only be that this is intentional, because I think Tim Burton, as much as his work just, it does kind of, it just kind of bugs me. I don't know. But I'll stop shitting on him for a minute. I do think he really does. He seems like somebody who genuinely puts a ton of thought into what he does and who really wants to, like, make some kind of statement with his art and his films. Not necessarily, like, a statement, but, like, everything feels like it has a purpose.
Sure.
And so one of the things I think also probably part of the reason why maybe people necessarily didn't get this movie when it came out and had mixed reviews, because something that I feel like was not super common in this point, it's something that's very common now, but at that point was probably still pretty new, is like, so you have basically three villains, right? You have Catwoman, the Penguin, and Shrek. But really, Catwoman and the Penguin are also cast in, like, this very, like, empathetic light.
Very
much
so.
Where you can very much see their point, whereas Shrek's the really only bad guy.
Yeah.
And the most interesting thing is, he's the most normal of all of them. Whereas Batman's dark and kind of brooding and shit, but his parents died. He has a chip on his shoulder.
Yep.
The Penguin was fucking floated downstream because he was a deformed freak. Well, Catwoman was a lonely secretary who got killed by him. You know, like, you're kind of empathetic to these characters to an extent. And, like, in different points, they kind of almost feel like the good guy at different parts.
Yeah.
Except for Shrek, who is just epitome of the bad guy.
Yeah,
which I thought was neat. And I don't know if he is a actual character in the Batman comics or anything.
I don't believe so.
I thought it was interesting where the actual villains that you would know, Catwoman and the Penguin, are represented in this light where you can, like, relate to them in some ways.
Yeah.
Whereas Shrek is just, like, the actual, like, he's the real
villain.
Yeah, very neat.
Yeah. So fun. Another fun fact about this movie. We always say Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Tim Burton directed that movie.
Yes.
He didn't.
He wrote it?
He produced it.
He produced it? Okay.
So he was basically working on this, but because of his involvement in Batman Returns, he basically would just come in, like, once a month, once every 3 months or so, check in on things, say, yeah, looks good.
He comes in, looks, he's like, oh, that's depressing. Perfect.
Perfect. And then goes back to Batman.
Okay.
So, yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas was actually directed by somebody named Henry Selick.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, I guess that it was Tim Burton's overall vision, like, idea.
Yeah.
But because he was doing Batman, he was too busy with Batman to direct this, or to direct Nightmare Before Christmas.
Neat.
Yeah. So he would come in, advise, and he was, like, the producer, I guess. I don't even know if he was a producer per se, but It was a thing where they slapped his name on Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas because Tim Burton had the name and he was partially involved.
Okay. Well, and it's my understanding, and I could be wrong on this, that, like, he wanted to make he was working for Disney.
Yes.
And, like, his characters and shit he wanted to do, they're like, dude, this shit is for kids. You're way too dark.
Mm-hmm.
You're way too creepy.
Yeah.
We're not going to leave you alone with children, much less let you make movies for them.
Right. And well, and again, they gave him his chance for Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And then, because that was Disney. But then they were like, this is too dark for the name of Disney to be attached to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they pushed it to, like, their sister company, or, like, one of their subsidiary companies called Touchstone Pictures.
Okay.
And Touchstone Pictures was attached to it rather than Disney. Okay. Because it was so dark. Yeah. Well, yeah, we're probably at that time. We're running.
There's a couple things I still need to talk about.
Oh,
too.
Okay. What? All right. Talk away, Thor.
Okay, so this movie is so wacky.
Yes,
why
it is.
Why are there clowns living in the sewer? Well, why is there a whole carnival in the sewer?
It's the sewer carnival. Yeah. It's the, I think, what are they called? Like the Red Ribbon Gang?
I don't know.
Red Triangle Gang?
But literally in that first scene when they pop out, it's like the tree lighting ceremony or whatever when you first...
Mm-hmm.
They first start popping out and terrorizing everybody.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard because they're, like, running around and, like, destroying stuff. But then there's also guys there's clowns juggling fire sticks. And it's like, what are you doing? How are you accomplishing? Like, how are you helping at all?
I think that's part of the, like, part of the whole shtick, right? So imagine people are going wild, and then you're like, what the hell is happening? And then you turn around, and there's just a dude juggling fire sticks. I would immediately
go, what
the hell is happening?
Yeah.
Like, what?
This is hell on earth. Like, but yeah, why are there just clowns living in the sewer?
They were henchmen for the Penguin, I guess. You know, as a child, I actually remember being very sad when the Penguin died.
Okay, I could see that. He's a very sad character.
Yeah.
Like in this version, he's a very sad character.
But I was mainly sad about the Penguins being sad that the Penguin died.
Yeah, because they like,
they did a whole little funeral for him and everything.
Yeah, because they loved him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was touching. It was touching.
When it came to the Penguins, he was a sweet boy. He loved his little Penguins.
Yeah, he loved his little Penguins. I mean, that was his family.
Yeah.
They didn't discard him. I love kind of the idea of the Penguin being turned into this urban myth of like the Penguin Man in Gotham sewers.
Yes.
That kind of leads you to believe that there have been sightings of him in the past, like a construction worker or something has seen him when he's in a manhole or something like that. That's kind of fun. That's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, so I thought it was all an interesting take on it. Yeah. We didn't even really talk about Batman much.
I mean, there's not much to say about Batman in this.
He's like, there's also a really funny scene that I loved is right after the scene I said that I really enjoyed where they're, you know, working it.
Yeah.
Also, what's probably the best part of that scene is when, as Bruce Wayne is leaving, he tells Alfred, just make up a story. Like, no, don't say this.
Sure.
Tell her this. Wait, no, don't tell. Just you got it. Basically trying to like, don't make me seem like a dork. Let her know I'm interested, but I got to run because I got to go do Batman shit.
Yeah.
And as he's telling Alfred that, then Alfred goes to tell Selina that, and then she does the exact same thing to him. Like, once again, just that scene is incredible. And then right after that, Batman is down in the Batcave. And he opens up his wardrobe to pick out his Batman suit, and they're all the same. He's like, and he like thumbs through them to find the right one, and they're all exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
There are some parts of this that
it turns them on.
It feels genuinely meant to be like just straight up comedy.
Yeah.
And so I do appreciate that. Yeah, this movie is very wacky. It's very over the top. It's very Tim Burton.
It's about as Tim Burton as you can get in a comic book movie, I think.
Yeah.
I think. It's just got this weird dichotomy of...
It reminded me a lot of Dick Tracy.
Okay. I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Where it's the same kind of like over the top like scenarios and dialogue a lot of times.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, it kind of made me realize why I love these movies so much. I've always said that Michael Keaton's my favorite Batman, and I think that still holds true for me. I think I like this version of Bruce Wayne the most, where Bruce Wayne is kind of like uncomfortable being Bruce Wayne. And he's that way in the first movie as well, where he's kind of weird and goofy and standoffish, and he's not good with social cues, and it's just like not his environment.
Because Bruce Wayne is his mask.
Yeah. So like it's a neat take, I think, for him. It was great. I think too that Michael Keaton got the script for Batman Forever and absolutely refused it because it was shit, according to him. So he's like, no, I'm not doing this. And you know, then they got Val Kilmer to do it.
And then George Clooney for Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The same Alfred Pennyworth, the same movies.
Through all those?
All of them.
Because those are all in the same timeline, same world, right?
I think that is kind of supposed to be the case.
Okay.
I think. It's one of those things where, like, Batman Forever is kind of like a reboot-ish.
Yeah, but that also was before they really did reboots like that, where they do now. Where it's like just kind of like standard practice. Yeah.
Yeah. Alfred Goh was the, at least I think that's how you pronounce his last name, G-O-U-G-H, just...
Alfred Goff.
Goff, yeah, I was gonna say that could be it too. He played Alfred through all four of those movies.
Okay, wait, his actual name is Alfred?
No, did I say Alfred Goff? Michael Goff. Apologies. Okay. Yeah, no, the character's name is Alfred. Yeah. That's where we're at with this one. I love this movie very much. I'm very curious to see what your thoughts are, Thor. If you had to rate this on a scale of, I don't know, 15 clowns abducting a child and doing acrobatic jumps and flips through the streets of Gotham City into a sewer.
1 to 15 clowns?
Yep.
Okay. I think I'm going to go like 10.
Okay.
10 clowns. I did enjoy this. I don't know. It's certainly not what... I'm not a huge superhero guy in general, just especially as more and more get made. I just... Superheroes just don't necessarily do it for me that much. They never really have. Mm-hmm. And just as I get older, they do it like less and less for me.
Yeah.
So I'm just not a huge superhero guy. I will say I am kind of coming around on Batman, though. Like I do, like I've always liked, everybody likes Batman. As a kid, fucking the Batman, what's it called? The Batman series.
Oh, the animated series?
Yeah.
It's one of the best depictions of Batman of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen The Mask of the Phantasm?
No.
Oh my gosh. That's on the list.
Okay, cool. So I do like Batman. I think he's genuinely like just a really greatly crafted character. It's why he stood the test of time for like so long. I love Danny DeVito in this. Michael Keaton's fine. Michelle Pfeiffer is certainly sexy as Catwoman, has a lazy eye and is generally just annoying through most of it.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken is over the top, just doing Walken things.
Yep.
So, like, it was a fun movie to watch. Like, there wasn't any moment where I was like, I wish I didn't have to watch this.
Sure.
But there were a few moments where I was like, gosh, just move it along a little bit. Felt a little bit. And that could just also be, too, it's a movie from 1992. You know, it's just a little bit of a different pacing of movies and stuff.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's a little bit too campy and over the top for me. But overall, I mean, it's a good film.
Sure.
So my 10 out of 15 is probably a more for me. I would definitely give it a higher rating for like if I was recommending it to somebody else like who hadn't seen it.
Sure.
Like it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah. Well, I'd be definitely curious to see what you think of the original Batman then. Like the one with Jack Nicholson as Joker.
Yeah.
I'd be very curious on that one. Because this is like a 9 on the Tim Burton scale, I think. And the other one is probably like a 6 on the Tim Burton scale. Like there's still elements of Tim Burton, but it's definitely not as
wacky.
Yeah, it's not as wacky. So yeah. All right. Well, crew, there you have it. It was, did you say 6 out of 15? 5 out 10 out of 15?
10 out of 15.
10 out of 15. 10 out of 15 clowns. Well,
let's go 12, because I just realized that's like 66%.
Yeah, 66%.
Yeah, that's a little low. So, like, let's say 12.
All right.
Say 12.
12 out of 15 clowns with a baby. That's not bad. I'm okay with that.
And a lot of that's for Danny DeVito. His nasty long john. Like, the scenes where he's just wearing long johns and a tie.
Yeah, and you see, like, his butt crack.
You see his butt crack, and he has the nasty shit. Why does he always have shit dripping out of his mouth? And when he's eating the fish, when he, like, he bribes him with a fish, and he's just eating a raw fish, it's horrendous. And so, like, it's such beautiful cinema.
Right.
Like it's like beautiful in how disgusting it is.
100%.
Like,
yep. Yeah, that's part of the charm, I think, of Danny DeVito.
For sure, yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. 12 out of 15. What do you guys think? Has it been a while since you've seen Batman Returns? If it has, you should go back and take a look at it. It is probably weirder than you remember. So, with that being said, Thor, what are we getting into next week? What's the game plan for us next week?
Okay, so before we recorded this episode, because we were running a little bit short on time, we asked our wives, hey, can we record another episode? Do we have time? And they were like, sure, but only if you agree to watch something that we recommend to you, and you can't say no.
Yeah, and they didn't tell us what it was, obviously.
Yeah, and we were like, yeah, sure, whatever, I don't care. And that bit us in the ass, huh?
Sure did.
What are we getting into next week, Micah?
We are getting into Cats. Cats, the musical. The remake musical movie.
Yeah, that has like a wildly star-studded cast, if I remember.
Insane amount of people.
And apparently, from everything I heard, was terrible. Which, honestly, I don't think I would ever think the musical Cats would be good, much less a movie remake of it.
The musical was very popular.
I know, but it doesn't seem like something I'd be interested in.
Right. Yeah. I'm kind of there with you. Yeah, I would agree. I think I'm in the same boat.
So we're gonna watch Cats.
We're gonna watch Cats. Yep. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna try and get somebody else to watch it with us and join us. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see
we're gonna try to torture one of our friends to join
we'll
us
see
for
if
the
it
episode.
Happens. So next week we're gonna get into Cats, Thor. I'm pretty sure this is the only movie that I know of that got re-released while it was still in its original theatrical run. Because they needed to fix computer graphics, like computer animation in it.
Oh, cool.
While it was in theaters, they're like, there's so many mess-ups that we need to fix it like now.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. And so they re-released it while it was still in theaters.
I hope we can see. I hope we can find that original version.
Yeah. So we're getting into Cats next week, crew. If you have a recommendation of your own, you can find us on a multitude of services. We are on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on Threads. And you can also send us an email at getrecpod@gmail.com. In our last episode, I don't think we mentioned that. We still have that email. So yeah, Thor, how do we spell it though? I'm going to spell it wrong.
GitRecPod@gmail.com.
There you go. Well, until next time, folks.
As always.
You get wrecked out there.
And stay wrecked.
Mm-hmm. If you had a bunch of animals that had to like create some weird seance to resurrect that animal god inside of you, which animal would you like it to be?
Capybaras.
Oh, my word. I love the idea. I love capybara.
And I would just spend all day gnawing on wood and shit.